You recently received an email from Cynthia Grady, who is with Asheville City Schools, the Chief Human Resources Officer. And let me read from this email. It says, "You have been identified as a full-time certified employee who has been with Asheville City Schools for 3 consecutive years as of September 1st, 2013. This means that you are one of 241 faculty members who are eligible to receive a 4-year contract offer. A committee of representatives from each school and job position is establishing the criteria that the superintendent and the Board of Education will use to select 25% of the 241 faculty members, which equals 60 certified staff, to receive the offer of the 4-year contract." The email goes on, and you have responded quite forcefully by saying that you're not interested.
That's right. There are a lot of us who are in the same boat, and we're not interested because it's a very divisive approach, we think. The proposal that the top 25% receive what is really a pittance, a $500 pay increase in exchange for giving up tenure, a lot of us find it insulting, because the idea that that our career status is only worth $500 is something that I think a lot of us don't agree with. And there are several of my colleagues who feel the same way and who are also planning on notifying the human resources director that we're not interested in participating in this.
You have described this, though, as a quote-unquote scheme. Why do you use that word?
Well, I use the word scheme because I think it's the objective is to eliminate career status for as many people as possible. There's a real misunderstanding about what so-called tenure is. Tenure is really a right of due process. And when I started, after 3 years, you got what was called career status. You got a career contract. And what that, and now it's, until this legislation passed, it was 5 years. After 5 years, you receive career status, which means you're not an at-will employee, which means you're entitled to due process, which means if you are fired, you have to be fired for cause. That doesn't seem like an unreasonable expectation. And it seems like this legislature is interested in eliminating that career status by buying off teachers.
Those in support of doing away with career status or tenure say that it's necessary in order to rid the profession of incompetent teachers, of bad teachers. How do you respond to that?
Well, I have two thoughts about that. The first is it's not impossible to rid the classroom of bad teachers. I think if a principal or a superintendent feels the need to fire someone who is not working, then there's a process that you can go through. It might take a little longer than most people would expect, but it can happen. The other piece of it is that we really should be focusing on retaining good teachers. And what this does is it creates a climate of insecurity for those of us who've been doing it for all of us in the classroom, and a sense of competitiveness that is that's really antithetical to what we're about in the classroom.
You've been teaching in the Asheville system for over 20 years. Isn't this offer for you, someone, frankly, who is approaching the end of your career, a great opportunity to see your salary go up $500 every year for the next 4 years?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think this is where the idea of it being a scheme comes in. I think it is aimed at me and teachers like me, people who have tenure and have been around for a long time, because, frankly, we're more expensive. I'm paid more than a beginning teacher, and it's teachers like me who are most likely, frankly, to turn this down, because we've had pay raises, step increases over the years. If I were a teacher who'd been working for 4 years and did not currently have career status, this might be seductive to me. But I know a lot of my colleagues, and I'm sure a lot of teachers across the state feel this way as well, who have been teaching for 4 years or fewer. It creates a competitive climate, which is, you know, the idea of being in the classroom and working in a school is collaboration, and you collaborate with your students, but you also have to collaborate with your colleagues. And if it becomes this kind of everybody against everybody mentality, then that's pernicious for the classroom.
In your response, you describe what is happening as asking you to take part in a quote-unquote Hunger Games-style competition for a higher pay scale than my colleagues. Explain that.
Well, I've heard a lot of teachers refer to this as sort of the Hunger Games, the idea being that, you know, I'm in it for me, and if it means I have to step on you to get somewhere else, that's what I'll do. And that kind of business model, a lot of folks who don't teach don't understand that the business model doesn't really work in public schools, because we have to collaborate. We have to collaborate every day. I team teach with a colleague, and I work in collaboration with other teachers of the same grade level in a professional learning community. And if it were just about me trying to maximize my opportunities at the expense of my colleagues, then I'd be a much worse teacher.
In your response, you go on to say, quote, "Until we are all treated as valued professionals, and until that treatment is evidenced by a fair pay raise for all of my colleagues, I am not interested in the General Assembly's divisive plan to pit teacher against teacher in a mad scramble for scraps from the budget. Is the profession not valued?"
I think the profession is highly valued among stakeholders, among parents and students. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be very valued among the current General Assembly. Although that's changed a little bit, I suspect, because it's an election year. There's a lot of rhetoric now about support for teachers, but we're not seeing it. I mean, it is, when I say scraps from the budget, that's what it feels like. It feels like the focus is on everything but investment in schools. And investment in infrastructure is what any business does. I mean, when the new tax rates went into effect, Duke Energy Progress, for which the governor used to work, reaped a kind of a windfall. They got more money, presumably because they needed to invest in infrastructure. Well, I think the infrastructure that we really need to be investing in North Carolina is public education.
But what do you say to those who dispute that teachers haven't been getting raises?
Well, I would say look at the facts. When I signed a contract in 1993, there was a pay scale that had a step increase every year, and the step increase essentially was a cost of living adjustment. So the pay raise was in addition to the cost of living adjustment. Now, in the last 5.5 years, there's been one 1.2% cost of living adjustment, which I suppose would be called a raise, but we haven't had a step increase for 5 years, and we haven't had a pay raise in 5 years. And it's important to note that those who would refer to teacher compensation instead of teacher pay are missing the point, because if you include our pension plan and our health plan, which are not as robust as many people think, but even if you include those, I can't exactly take my pension plan and pay my mortgage with it. What matters to me and what matters to my creditors is my gross pay.
The way I understand this, and correct me if I'm wrong, when the district identifies 25% of the teachers for this, to buy into this, 25% of which teachers?
Well, that's the real question here, because it was left to school districts to come up with a plan to determine that. And I don't envy the folks in the central office of Buncombe County or Asheville City or anywhere who have to come up with a plan for that, because the obvious answer to that is using standardized test scores. But first of all, that doesn't really measure much. That quantitative analysis doesn't really tell you much about the quality of the teacher. And there are people who are in the pool of the 25% who are not classroom teachers. And so it's going to be a lot of apples to oranges. And in Asheville City, there's a committee that has been established to try to come up with an equitable way of doing this. But I'm glad I'm not having to do that, because I think it's impossible.
Clarify this for me. If I'm a teacher and I take the deal and I say I'm making $40,000. In the 2014-2015 school year, I would get a bump to $40,500. In the 2015-2016 school year, I would get a bump to $41,000. In the 2016-17 school year, my salary would go up to $41,500. And then in 2017-2018 school year, I would be making $42,000 a year. Is that accurate?
That's the way I understand it, and it's being sold as a $2,000 pay raise, but it's only funded for 1 year. Yeah, so the only funding that's in the budget right now is for this year, and so it's sort of pie in the sky. I'm not a math teacher, but I think if you do the math, that comes out to a 5% raise over 4 years, which is about 1.5%, a little more than 1.5% per year. So it's still peanuts.
And is it clear to you how the evaluations will be done? What's the criteria?
Well, nobody knows at this point.
So are you being asked to accept a deal where you don't know what the criteria or the evaluation process is, and for money that isn't in the budget?
That seems the way it is to me. I mean, it's like buying a pig in a poke, except it's a very small pig.
So ultimately, what's the goal of this proposal?
Well, in my view, the goal is to drive experienced teachers out of the classroom by taking tenure away from us.
Why would the state of North Carolina want to drive experienced teachers out of the classroom?
Because if you do a cost-benefit analysis, strictly looking at the bottom line, we cost more. And I think it's a false economy because any beginning teacher knows that you need a mentor. Beginning teachers in the classroom take about 3 years to kind of figure out what's going on. So it's really important that you have a mentor. And that goes, again, to the collaboration. If I am a new teacher, I want an experienced teacher who will help me and guide me and share lesson plans and share tips on discipline and things like that. But with this plan, with this scheme, there's no incentive for experienced teachers to do that.
What keeps you in the profession?
The kids and their parents. Every teacher I know who's been doing it for more than, say, 5 or 10 years, the lifers like me, we do it because in spite of all of the headaches that we get and in spite of all the adversity and the disrespect we get from government officials, we still get a lot of respect from the students and their parents. We get respect and appreciation from them, and they give us a lot back. And so most of us who have been doing it for a long time do it because we love being with the kids.
The legislature has established a timeline of June 30th, 2018. That's when the permanent elimination of career status for all teachers takes effect.
Right.
What would that mean for you, someone who today has 20 years invested in the system today?
I'm not sure what that would mean for me. I'm not terribly concerned because I have a lot of respect for the people in this district, and I think my value is pretty well known, but it conceivably could mean that if there were someone in the central office who was concerned primarily with the bottom line because the budget is so squeezed, as it has been for a long time, I would be a logical target to get rid of.
Are you hearing from your colleagues who want to take this deal?
I have a few colleagues, younger colleagues, who don't have tenure, who have expressed some interest in it, and I'm completely sympathetic to that view because they haven't seen a pay raise since they started, and they don't have tenure, so it's not like it doesn't feel like they're giving anything up. I also have some colleagues who are in that situation who share the view that I and some of my more experienced colleagues have, that it's penny wise and pound foolish.
A recent report released by the Department of Public Instruction found that last year's teacher turnover rate in North Carolina increased, and it's the highest rate it's been over the last 5 years. Between March 2012 and March 2013, approximately 13,600 teachers left their districts. Why do you think that's happening?
It's not surprising to me. I personally know three or four folks. I mean, there's a well-publicized issue of a teacher at the middle school who very much wanted to stay and who had to move back to Ohio for financial reasons. There are a lot of people who are in the earlier middle stages of their career who need the money and can't afford it. So someone like me, who's sort of at the end of the career, I'm in it for the duration, but I completely understand why someone would move to Colorado or Ohio or even South Carolina because the pay is higher.
The General Assembly decided to discontinue supplemental pay for advanced degrees. What do you think of that decision?
Well, I think the governor and maybe the General Assembly is revisiting that because they've realized the folly of that decision. But the idea that an advanced degree does not enhance a teacher's worth is frankly a little insulting. I mean, we are a profession, we're professionals, and by many measures, the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, for example, when they're evaluating the quality of teachers, they look at what are your accomplishments both in and out of the classroom. And having an advanced degree indicates an investment, a financial and a personal investment in one's personal education, which is, I think, critical to being a good teacher.
State lawmakers also decided to stop funding the North Carolina Teaching Fellows Program. It provides scholarships to North Carolina high school students to pursue teaching degrees in the state, and then graduates are committed to teaching for 4 years in North Carolina. And a high percentage of these teaching fellows actually make a career of teaching and stay in the state as teachers. What do you make of that decision?
I think that's a tragedy, frankly. I have two former students right now who are at UNCA as teaching fellows, and one of them is the last class of teaching fellows, the last one who got in before they eliminated the program. I mean, the idea of homegrown teachers, there's a teaching shortage that's coming. It's on the horizon because baby boomers like me are going to be retiring in droves, and there's going to be an enormous need. There's really been very little incentive for in North Carolina to go into the profession because of poor pay and everything else. And this was a wonderful incentive to get a free education. It recruited the best and the brightest. I've taught with a lot of really outstanding teaching fellows, and I think it was a tragic mistake.
Are you concerned about your status within the system by speaking out so forcefully against this offer?
No, I'm really not, because I think my opinion is a pretty universally held one among the teaching profession, people who are on the inside. The disconnect is really between people who are invested and people who are not invested, and people who are in the classroom and who know what's going on, and people who are in the system or students and their parents, and people on the outside who kind of want to tinker with things like educational reform and trying to approach education with a business model. My colleagues, both in the class, my teaching colleagues, my administrative colleagues, all up and down the line, I think they all understand how we're under the gun. I think I've felt very supported locally.
Howard Shepherd has been teaching since 1985, the past 20 years at Asheville High School. Thank you very much.
Thank you.